Praise God. Praise God. Amen. The name of the message today is Don't Come Out Defeated. Don't come out defeated. Amen. And I would ask you to turn with me now over to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. The book of Matthew, chapter 24. I've got a lot of scripture that I want to try to go through today and cover. So bear with me. I'm going to be turning a lot of pages today. And, I didn't want to do it that way, but it just so happens that that's the way the message kind of came out. So I've got some ground to cover today, and so you can bear with me. But see, this message is about people that will not give up as they begin to go through the fight, and as sometimes they get weary and downtrodden. Sometimes you think you're going down for the third time. You got your hand raised up, and like Pastor used to say, in the you see that hand going down in the ocean, and the hand goes up. I see that hand. And it's kind of a different context that he put it in, but I never forgot that. It's just the funniest thing that I think I've ever heard. Oh my. The Lord knows how to rescue His own, doesn't He? The Lord knows how to come through for each one of us. If you just reach out, raise your hand to God. Raise your hand. Raise your hands in prayer, thanksgiving and praise and honor. In spite of all that you're going through, don't worry about the circumstances. Trust God for the outcome. That's what faith is. The Lord's looking for you and me to have that overcoming, overwhelming faith to defeat the devil and to defeat those circumstances in us. To not get overrun and overburdened by the things that are coming on the earth. And trust me, things are coming upon the earth. Matter of fact, already have and already are. Moving onward and forward. But so are we. If you're a true Christian soldier, you're going to be moving onward, upward, and forward. Amen? I know that people do, yes. Amen, brother. People need to be strengthened. People do need to be strengthened more than ever today, and this is what we're here for. That's what we're all about. So that we can edify and strengthen and help each other. That's why we're here. It ain't to give some rah-rah speech. It ain't to come here to be seen or heard or anything. Well, just hope that people will come and hear the Word. You know? That's what we want. The Word of God. One that's not watered down. One that you know that is not going to be compromised. Amen? Nobody, in my view, as long as I've ever lived, would ever want to go to some church when you know that that pastor is compromising the Word of God. Amen? What a pathetic thing to see that. So I get excited when I talk about that kind of thing. So bear with me. We're going to go now to 24, chapter 24 in Matthew. It goes on to say, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Jesus, right now, is giving them and establishing in their understanding that there is nothing that is man-made that can endure. Nothing man-made will be able to endure. The only thing that will be able to endure these tough times, the perplexities of life, will be your faith in Jesus. And the Bible says the same shall be saved. Amen? And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Well, tell us, Lord." Can you imagine what that would be like? I don't know why they had to feel like they had to go to him privately. I'm sure that he must have had a lot of people round about him. And they tried to steal away from some time to just get away and ask the Lord, "Lord, tell us what's going on here. Lord, explain to us. What are you trying to say, Lord God?" They must have felt it deep in their spirit, something very important that the Lord wanted to share them with them. And truly it is that very important thing that the Lord wants to tell us today. The same importance, the same relevance, the same urgency today. And let's go on and read that. "Tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Did you see that? Take heed that no man deceive you. Did you know that people will come in privily and privately and unbeknownst to many in churches and colleges and schools and seminary or cemeteries, if you want to call it that, that will come in and try to change the Word of God. Change it from its original meaning. Change doctrine to make it look and sound more palatable to their flesh, right? But the Lord warns us against such things. He goes on to say here, in verse 5, Matthew 24, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Did you know that Barack Obama, that when he was running for his campaign, that they had, they were selling ware, they were selling shirts, they were selling posters, "The second coming of our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama." Did you know that Jamie Foxx, that actor, went on to say, "Oh, praise the name of our Lord and Savior, Barack Obama." Did you know that? And how that they are blaspheming everything that they can do and think of to blaspheme. Ellen DeGeneres, whatever her name is. Something like that. I don't even dare to spell her name. God forbid I should even say her name. But anyway, she's a homosexual, flaming, red-hot homosexual lesbian who, a picture was painted of her as Jesus at the Last Supper painting and all her lesbian friends on either side of her. These are things that are happening. All her so-called apostles of deceit, sin and witchcraft. That's what it is. It goes on to say, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Did you know that coming here shortly on this land, they are coming to drill, they're trying to drill deep into the earth to cause an earthquake? They're trying to drill deep within the area around the Mississippi River. And they're trying to hit some kind of explosion. They're trying to cause some kind of an explosion whereby it would create a huge, catastrophic earthquake. And they're trying to drill into the earth to create this sort of thing. These are the kinds of things that are happening, and people are fast asleep. Wake up. Look. Watch. See what's going on. We're to be the watchmen. We're to be the ones that are to wake up the people and to sound the alarm, to shout it from the rooftops, the sin that we see around us. Amen? We're not to be partakers of it, but we're to reprove it. That's the work of the Holy Ghost, to reprove sin. And that's why we're here. Amen? I have no room in my own life to do anything other than that. I've gotten to that place in my life where nothing else even matters. I don't care about the Super Bowl. I don't care who wins. That used to be my life. That used to be all I used to think about, dream about, was playing football. I grew up thinking I was going to play pro ball. How stupid and how silly. But that was my thing growing up. That was all I thought about. But those days, oh, thank God in heaven, are long gone, 25, 30 years in the rearview mirror. And I don't have to look back. I'm looking onward, upward, and forward to a new time and a new place, a new future. One with God in it. Did you know that Barack Obama, when he said the so-called pledge for taking the oath, they left out under God? They left out the words under God because he thinks he's God. Amen? Well, well. Goes on to say here, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Hey, if you're not being persecuted, if you're not being attacked, if you're not being somehow maligned or your name is being used as a byword, then you're not doing something right. It's those who are doing a work for God. You will always see that from time, from the beginning of time, that those who are doing a work for God will be attacked. Did you know that? You're always going to be attacked when you're doing a work for God, because the devil, his favorite tactic is to discourage. The devil's favorite tactic is to come and to try to discourage you and make you feel worthless, like you're nothing. Like you can't do anything. Can you see that? Do you know that? Are you prepared to go through that in your own life? Have you set your face like flint to do so? Goes on to say, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. Did you know that your own family members, your neighbors, your friends, people that you thought you could trust and love, are going to turn on you? Those who aren't sold out for Christ, beware. But then again, there are those that you don't know that God has set aside, much the way Elijah thought he was the only one left and God had 7,000 more set aside that he didn't even know about. Amen? We're not to be the ones that judge people. That's not our job. Go sit there and say, this person or that person. No. That's the Lord's job. He sorts everything out, doesn't He? But we are to know them by their fruit. And don't ever forget that. We're to know them by their fruits. Is it good fruit? Or is it bad fruit? You'll know the fruit by its tree. And it goes on to say here now, and hated of all nations for my name's sake. They hate the name of Jesus. The devil hates the name of Jesus. You see, the biggest trick is that he's going to want you to stop saying the name of Jesus because of persecution. Because of people coming against you. Because you're going to have to endure hardship. You're going to have to endure things that you don't like to endure. But you can't allow compromise to get a foothold in your life. Because the moment you do that, that's the moment you begin to slip slide the wrong direction. The devil, if he can get a hook in your nose somehow, he's going to pull with all that he can. He's going to make mincemeat out of you if he can. If you're not one of his elect, the Lord's elect, be careful. Watch your guard your heart. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Oh boy. Are we not seeing that today? Isn't that exactly what we're seeing today all over the world? Huh? It ain't just here, folks. This is just a small microcosm. This is happening worldwide. Christians all over who are not afraid to die, who wake up knowing that if they ever are heard in public saying the name of the Lord Jesus or found going to church, they're going to end up either in prison or they're going to be found dead somewhere, some back alley. And what courage do we have today? It's called growing thick skin. If you don't have thick skin now, I don't know what to tell you. But that's something that every Christian needs already. That's something every Christian needs right now. If you can't get it now or sooner, then I would get on your knees. Ask God to have mercy. Ask God to be patient with you. Ask God to help you, but do it so earnestly with all your heart. Get before God and help Him. Help, ask Him to help you, to show you how to overcome. To show you how to get strong in the Lord. To grow that thick skin. Because we're all going to need it in the end days here. Like Pastor used to say, put a helmet on, it's rough out there. Isn't that true? Put a helmet on. Because when you're sitting there bouncing around off the wall or off the ground, you're going to need a helmet. You're going to need a helmet. Goes on to say here, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Oh, is there not many false prophets out there today? Huh? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. You're going to have to endure because perplexities of every kind are coming upon the earth. Did you know that big, huge boulders, bricks and boulders, the size of boulder, hail, the size of bricks and boulders, were coming down in Bangladesh January 31st, just recently? In 1986, they were coming down the size of pumpkins, hail, killing 92 people in that same area. These, friends, are the things that we were warned about, that were coming upon the earth, fearful things that men and women, if they looked upon, their hearts would fail for fear. For looking upon the things that are on the earth, are coming on the earth. Amen? So you've got to be prepared and toughen up. All of us. Yes, the love of Christ needs to be there. That's what drives every ship. That's the anchor of every ship. That's what leads, guides, and directs us, is the love of Christ. But we need to toughen up. We need to toughen up, every last one of us. Jeremiah 12, let's go there if you would. Jeremiah chapter 12. Praise God. Jeremiah chapter 12. You see, there's coming a day when we all need to rise up and rise again. Rise up and rise again. Don't give up. I'm not coming out of that hole until I'm blessed. I'm not coming out of this fight until I'm blessed. I'm not going to give up and give in and give out to the ways of the world and the wickedness and all these things that are coming against me until I'm blessed. Until I walk in the victory of Jesus. Until I have what it takes to overcome by the help of God, by His grace. Amen. By His mercy. Jeremiah 12. Jeremiah is going to ask some real searching questions, isn't he? Well, let's go there now. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. Righteous art thou, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? He's asking a question here. And it's a very real question. And it's a question that people here ask all the time today. How is it that people that are wicked and they prosper? You know, you look at the Bill Gates of the world today. Bill Gates, who right now is telling people that he hates cash. That he's trying to get this world to come into a cashless society. That's what Bill Gates wants. He's also a big proponent, and he owns half of Monsanto that destroys all our food. Amen. Bill Gates. Bill and Melinda. We won't get into that right now. Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, and far from their ruins, or reins, their thoughts, in other words. Bill Gates was the same guy who said, this is God's work. This is God's work. With all these kids being inoculated, all these vaccinations, this is God's work, he said. Well, whose God is he talking about? It ain't the same God that I serve. But Thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward Thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, He shall not see our last end. Oh, Lord God, help us all. Goes on to say here now in God's response, in verse 5, If thou hast run with the footmen, in other words, listen, this is going to be important. This is a lesson we all need to learn. Listen closely. Apply it to your life. Look, listen, and learn. Right here. If thou hast run with the footmen, are you hearing this? And they have wearied thee. Can you hear that? Then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? In other words, how is it that if you can't handle the problems now in time of peace, if you fall down in the open field, what are you going to do when you're having to run through the jungle full of thicket and thorns and sweaty and snakes and everything around you? What are you going to do then? If you can't run now in the time of peace, where there's nothing really hindering you from moving forward in the Lord, what are you going to do when they shut the lights off? What are you going to do when they take your ability to buy or sell away? What are you going to do when they start persecuting you and you have nowhere to go, no one to talk to, no one to trust? What are you going to do then? When there's no gas to buy, you can't get anywhere. When you're hemmed in, what are you going to do? Where's your trust going to be? Do you have a relationship with the Lord that's going to say, I can overcome? I can do all things in Christ, which strengtheneth me. Will you be able to live that kind of life where God takes control of your life when you're in the middle of a problem? When you cry out to Him and He hears you? Because you see, right now, many are neglecting the Lord right now. Most eyes are on the Super Bowl right now. Most eyes today are on watching those Super Bowl commercials right now. All that deviant cluster of sin. What are they going to do in the end? What are they going to do when the Lord suddenly comes? The brightness of His coming, what are they going to do then? Huh? When you're left unprepared, what are you going to do when if people preach to you the truth and you can't handle that now, what are you going to do then? What are you going to do in the end? When you can't bear to hear it and much worse things are coming upon the land. There will be much worse things that will be said. What are you going to do then? No. Let's read this now. In verse 6. For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not. Though they speak fair words unto thee, oh, deceptive words, smooth as silk. I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Now, understand that sometimes the Lord speaks to you and you don't know why He says what He sounds contrary to His own Word. But according to Romans 11:34-35, it says, how unsearchable are Thy judgments and His ways past finding out. Amen? You are not always going to know why the Lord says what He says and does what He does. But you can trust that He does what He does and says what He says for your own good. Not for your hurt and not for your harm. Trust God. Seek God for wisdom on the matter. He'll show you. It sounds right here as He's talking that it's contrary. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. But you see what He's doing. He's trying to show us. He's trying to show us a few things here. Round about are given or are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. You could probably say pastors, you can say watchmen, you can say so-called prophets or prophetesses. So-called people or Christians who claim to know the Lord, who are leading people astray, have trodden down truth under their foot by deception to deceive the masses, to deceive people into believing and sending them money. It's all about money. Follow the cash trail. It's always going to lead to money. Every kind of corrupt thing out there, you're going to always find money involved somehow. Somebody getting rich off of somebody else. But that's not what we're talking about taking it by force, are we? That's reserved for the Christian. It's not reserved for the devil and his minions. Though they try, they're going to fail in the end. The spoilers. Wait, it goes on to say here, let me go back here to 11 here. And they have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. Oh, the great indifference. The land is mourning. The earth is wheeling and reeling and shaking, moaning and groaning because of the sin of this earth. Because of the sin going on in the people in this earth. Because the devil has been unleashed. And people aren't laying it to heart. God's people aren't warning the people. And God's looking for a people that will stand up there with zeal. And will not look back. And will warn people. And will praise God and not be ashamed of it. Amen? Amen. God is looking for that kind of people. He's looking for you and me to rise up and be that man and woman. Are you going to rise up? Rise and rise again. Oh, Lord God, help us. It goes on to say here, in verse 12, the spoilers are come upon all high places, through the wilderness, For the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. Did you see that? The sword of the Lord. That's God's word. Did you know that you fight the devil with God's word? Did you know that when you pray, you use God's word to fight the enemy? That's the kind of sword you're to brandish. But most Christians don't understand the fight, do they? It's in the scaffold. It's in the sheath. They never pull it out to use it. It's not sharpened. Because they're dull of hearing. Lukewarm. Amen? God is looking for people right now. Are you going to join the army of God? Are you going to join in this great cause that we have to fight against sin? To fight against all the wickedness out there in your life, in our lives, around us? Are you going to reprove sin for what it is? We have opportunities now while we still yet live, but there's coming a time it's going to be too late. And we all need to be ready. Are you going to be counted on? Are you going to be one of those that can say, Lord, here am I. Count me in. Here am I, Lord God. Use me. I'm going to join hands with those that love truth, that do a work for God, that aren't ashamed of the gospel. Thus saith the Lord, against all my neighbors, evil neighbors, that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Oh, praise God. Let's go to Psalm 18:2. Psalm 18:2. Psalms 18:2. Praise God. I'm just going to read, though. We're going to read here of David. How David was in the midst of a trial and tribulation in his life, being on the run for 20 years, chased into the caves of the land for 20 years from Saul, living in and out of caves and mountainsides and hillsides and suffering much want in the elements, the cold, the heat, for 20 years. Boy, that's learning some lessons, ain't it? That's growing through the fire, isn't it? Have you been through the fire? I know what it's like to go through the fire. How about you? Verse 2, or verse 1. Let's just go to 1 and read through 8 here. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Oh, David knew. No doubt David deeply doubted many things in his life. But one thing that he was able to have was faith in God, and that got him through it. He had faith in God, not in himself. He was no doubt wearied, war-torn, tired. I can't imagine what he was going through, 20 years on the run in the middle of the desert, going through all the pitfalls and snares and traps set by his enemy. Oh, my. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Did you see that? So shall I be saved from mine enemies. It goes on to say, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. after he was praising God. Amen. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. We've all been afraid, I'm sure, haven't you? Oh, there's coming upon us in the near future, by the year 2016, if the Lord tarries. They're talking about how that this Obamacare is going to require the bare minimum for every family. I don't know if it's a family of four or under, or it's a family of four and up. I don't know some of those details. Maybe some of you do. All I know is that the minimum requirement that everyone is going to have to pay for insurance is going to be $20,000. That's going to be the bare minimum. That's going to be the bronze plateau. Then you have the silver, the gold, the platinum. And you see, and this is the bronze minimum, $20,000, okay? And if you fail to pay that, well, then you have to answer to the IRS. It's going to give you a penalty. A penalty if you don't pay the required amount. So these are just a few things that many people who don't have faith in God, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But there's going to be a lot of people that will be living in fear over these kinds of things. Oh, amen. And the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Aren't they ungodly? Making ungodly rules by craft and deceit. Putting a chain around your neck, around your feet. Expecting you to bring forth bricks without hay. Like the Egyptians wanted the Israelites to do. Isn't that kind of how it is? We just lost this past month we lost 170,000 more jobs in this country. 170,000 more jobs were lost. Perplexities, fears, hardships. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Now, this is what the Lord wants us to do. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even unto his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. Did you see that now? Can you understand that God is going to move mountains because he is jealous for you? Because he loves you enough to protect you, to move mountains enough for you to take men's lives on your behalf? Amen. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. Oh, dear God, we know that we have a God in heaven who is on our side. We don't have to fear for the things that come on the earth. Let's go to Psalm 32, or 34 rather. Psalm 34. Let's go to verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. When you can walk in this life and know that you're going to go through trouble, you can know that God is going to deliver you. He's going to help you. I'm going to come out of this thing blessed. I don't care what the devil has in store for me. I don't care what his plans are for me. God has plans too. God can thwart the devil's plans. Amen. He can devour the devil's plans. He can turn them aside in a moment. We saw that the devil was thrown down from out of heaven in a flash of lightning. The devil is no object. The devil's not in charge. He's not God. Okay? But we do have a God who is able to throw the devil out. Give him the bum's rush out. Kick him out. Give him a drop kick over the edge. Amen? Give the devil a black eye. Praise God. Magnify His name. Quote the Word of God to him. Fight back. Amen? Have faith. Don't give in to the devil's whims. Have faith. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Goes on to say, they looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him from out of all his troubles. Friend, do we have anything to fear? Nothing but fear itself. Fear, oftentimes a figment of one's imagination. Oftentimes is just a whisper by the devil saying, you better watch out. I'm here. I'm going to come and get you. But you see, there's not a boogeyman behind every tree. There isn't. But the devil wants you to think and believe there is. There is a God, and He's able to deliver you. This poor man cried out, and He delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Oh, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Though we drink from the dregs of sorrows and afflictions and torments, the cup is often bitter. But Jesus also drank of that cup, didn't He? He went before us, and He got the victory for us. We don't trust in the arm of flesh, but we trust in what God has done for us. We trust in His Word, we fight His Word, the sword. We take that sword out of that sheath and use it. Sharpened, meaning you know the Word of God and you believe it. And you're able to memorize Scripture and quote it. That you can fight the devil with it. That you can come against the devil and his tactics and not be defeated. But many people, Christians, walk around this earth defeated today. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Oh, Lord. He's going to teach us now. There are some things in here we need to learn, isn't there? Not just myself, but every one of us. All those who are online, whoever, wherever you are. Whatever walk of life you're in. Read the Word of God. And this is just going to be one scripture out of many. Okay? But let's read this. Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good, seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Do you want the Lord to hear your voice? Do you want the Lord to hear your cry? Do you want the Lord to hear your prayers? Then keep your tongue from guile, from deceit. Keep your eyes from watching evil, wicked things. Keep your heart in the right place. Don't go after ungodly, idolatrous things in this world. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord and doing good and right. And God will hear your prayers. I don't care who and what comes against the child of God. But if you're a child of the Lord God in heaven, it doesn't matter if the whole underworld comes against you. If all of hell unleashes all its fury upon you. Did you know that one word can dispel all of that? One rebuke can cause that whole thing to fall apart? Amen. I've seen that happen in my life. What about in your life? I don't doubt it can happen in your life. In fact, I know it has. And many people's lives. Because people have the victory. And they keep coming back to God. They come for more. They want to be blessed. They want to hear from God. And they want to go out and do greater exploits for the Lord. And have greater faith. And walk in the victory. And endure unto the end. If you can endure unto the end, then you can say that I have been successful. If you can say that you can endure unto the end, you won't know until you get there. Then you can say you've had success. Amen. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Oh, praise God. Did you know that the paths of countless sorrows lead to everlasting life? Leads to eternal rest. Did you know that? So don't get discouraged when you're going through troublous times. Don't get discouraged and overwhelmed when your life doesn't seem like it's ever going to have peace or joy. Because the righteous enter in through much tribulation, the Bible says. Don't grow weary and tired. Don't complain. Forget about complaining. You see, did you understand and know that that's why the Israelites had to walk around Mount Sinai for 40 years? They had to walk in circle after circle after circle because why? They always complained. Oh, they complained, they complained, and they complained. Even after God spewed water from the rock. Even after the Lord sent manna and quail and all these things, and they complained and they complained and they complained. And what happened to them? The earth swallowed them up because they went the way of Korah and Dathan. And they began to complain. Pretty soon they got a hook in their nose. And all they could do was dance around the golden calf. That's all they cared about. The things of the flesh. The things of the carnal. The things of the world is all they cared about. Pretty soon, the earth swallowed them up. You all know that story. There's a great danger in complaining all the time. The Lord is nigh unto them. The righteous rate. Let's go back to 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Amen. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. Did you see that? Get that into your spirit. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Did you see that? You can trust in God. You can know that your soul won't be desolate when you trust in him. There'll be food and water spiritually. And otherwise, the Lord will make a way where there seems to be no way. Truly, that is so true. You heard it said a million times, but when has it ever been applied to your life? But vain is the help of men. Vain is the help of men. Let's go to Psalm 60. Let's go there once. Psalm 60. Yet a little while longer. Did you know that Satan will be crushed under your feet? Just a little while longer. Can you hang on? Can you endure? Will you fight the good fight? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. We know that Joseph overcame, didn't he? And what happened to his life? Genesis 41. If you could go there. I kind of warned you I'd be going through a lot of scripture. Genesis 41 says here, we know that Joseph was thrown into that pit. But what happened to Joseph's life? Not only did the Lord deliver him out of that pit, and then the Lord delivered him out of that hole. But he went in from the hole into prison. And Joseph had a great attitude, and he kept fighting. And he was delivered from out of prison and made a prince of Egypt. And what happened? Oh, the Lord knows how to deliver. It says in verse 50, and unto Joseph were born two sons, before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Did you see that? The Lord is able to make you fruitful and to multiply and to be blessed in the middle of all your trouble, of all the things that you're going through in life. He is able not only to deliver you, but to bless you. Did you know that? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Matter of fact, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Where in 1 Peter? Where are you? 1 Peter. Here we go. Okay. Praise God. goes on to say here in 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." All these people out there, all this wickedness, the Lord has purposed for that evil would overtake them. That they would not see the light of day because they love that sin so much, He's given them over to it and they become reprobate. They cannot tell the right, between right and wrong. Did you know that in London they open up their that first atheist church, right, in London? They call it a church whereby they have secular weddings and funerals, and they have a band, some kind of a secular band in their church. They call it a church over in London. There's a lot of things that are happening in London right now these days. London, England, has done much to deserve the wrath of God. And they have fallen from grace. Right now, Christianity is on its way completely out of England. Completely. It's a godless place. And right now that atheists in London, they said this is a godless congregation. And they were singing the praises of a godless generation. They thought how good, a good thing can come out of this, they were saying. That's what you call reprobate. That's what you call people that don't know right from wrong. That do wicked and wicked evilly. And who it is, it says here in verse 13, "And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Did you know the reason why Moses could not enter into the land of promise was because he did not sanctify the people before God? When he hit that rock out of anger, did you know that he did not sanctify God before the people? Therefore, he could not enter into the promised land. He saw it only from afar. He is redeemed, yes. But he couldn't enter in. Now, I say that because, friend, that is a metaphor for you and me. That's a type and shadow that you and I must attend to, look at, receive, and understand the importance of sanctifying God Almighty before others. You want the promises of God in your life? Sanctify God. Sanctify God before others. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy, because pretty soon, the more you do, the more you partake of it, the more you become like Korah and Dathan. But sanctify, okay, it says here in verse 16, "having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, that just for the just for the unjust, and he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. Can you see that? Fight back. Fight back. Fight back. The devil's not in charge. The violent take it by force. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Praise God. Matthew chapter 11. This is very important. Let's go to verse 7. Okay? And this is what we're talking about today. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, John the Baptist. Oh, John the Baptist. He was a man who was disciplined and sober. He was not in love with the luxuries and comforts of this life. He was not passive and he was not a man pleaser, was he? He spoke to those Sadducees as though they were a bunch of scowling cowards. And they were. People with no morals, no ethics. Wearing long flowing robes and trying to look and sound cute and pretty and holy before all those people. When inside their hearts was black, full of sin, full of dead men's bones. And it goes on to say here, oh boy, this is Jesus talking. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind. Did you go out there to see somebody who was going to be full of fear and full, so fearful that he couldn't speak right, that he couldn't tell you the truth, that he wouldn't confront these hearsayers and he wouldn't confront those false prophets and teachers, that he wouldn't confront people like that, that he wouldn't have the strength to warn people? No. It goes on to say here, but what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Did you know that these folks out in Washington, all over these governments, all over the earth, make themselves rich off of you and me knowing that the economy is in the tank, and they are still, with everything in them, with every ounce of finagling and manipulation they can get away with, are still at it. Taking your money and my money, thinking that somehow the taxpayers will pay for it. But they're getting rich off of you and me daily. These Ponzi schemes continue. These issues in Washington never seem to stop. Not only Washington, just look in your own backyard. Look at the local governments, the state governments, same thing. Be warned. Be warned. If you're not hearing from God, don't look to them to help you, friends. Because they're not going to be there for you. You're on your own. You're on your own. If you're looking for them to help you somehow, you are going to be on your own. That is a promise. You can take that to the bank, if I can even say that. Bunch of banksters. You know. And it says here in verse 10, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, There hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You see, God's no respecter of persons. He's looking for you and me to rise up. Goes on to say, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It doesn't say here that it's not the lukewarm and the passive. No. It says the violent take it by force. Those that aren't afraid to fight for the cause of Christ. If you're going to give the devil a black eye, like I said earlier, you better get on your knees and get before God. Quote Scripture. The devil, like I said, is not in charge. I'm going to be coming out of this thing blessed. How about you? I'm going to give the devil a black eye. How about you? Goes on to say here, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you have ears to hear? And do you have eyes to see? And how about this one? Do you have a heart to understand? But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto the children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. We're not going to be puppets on a string and be manipulated and coerced into doing and obeying the things of the world and what they want us to do. We must have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you and me today. And not give in. The violent take it by force. Those who are passive are those who neglect. Those who are weak are those who fail. You must be strong in the Lord, bold as a lion. Amen. The just man falleth 7 times, gets back up. Don't give out, don't give in to the world. Why don't we go to Proverbs 24. Time is running out, so I'm not going to be able to get to even half of them. I've overdid it this time. But 24. It says here in 15 and 16, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For the just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. So when you fall down, you don't stay down. The Bible says that when you rise up again and again and again. If you lay down and die, you do so to your own hurt and harm. God is looking for people that will rise up and not lay down with devils and demons. Not lay down and give in to the ways of the world. You've got to get up again and continue to fight. We're not here to play games, I'm telling you. I'm not here to play games. I can tell you that right now. I didn't come here to play games. And I'm not going anywhere else to play games. I came here to serve God. How about you? How about you? That's the attitude we must have. Isaiah 50, if you could go there for with me. Isaiah 50. In verse 6, it goes on to say here, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. They're talking about the Lord here. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore, now listen to this. Please, listen. Therefore have I set my face like flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Oh, praise God. And if I can get to one more, Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. In verse 16, it goes on to say, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put upon the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. I'm reading through this because I don't have much time left. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Now, friends, I haven't been able to get into trench warfare yet, but this is where it begins. And the Redeemer shall come out of Zion unto them that turn from transgression to Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My Spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in my mouth, in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. One final thought. In trench warfare, until you come out of that hole blessed, you come over the top, and you attack the enemy, that is when the enemy attacks you with all he has. When you're getting into his territory, that you'll know you're in his territory when you are getting attacked left and right. When people are coming out against you, when people will rise up against you for no reason, you know you're making enemy territory yours. You know that you're standing in different territory that belongs to God, not the devil. The devil has to give way. He's going to be defeated. It's God's way, not the devil's way. God will make a way. God will make a way in your life.